may be seated. Good. Please turn with me now in your Bibles again to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17, and as you're just turning up there, let me encourage you, if you were not here this morning and you would still like to get one of our church calendars, please pick up one of those when you leave tonight. We have a couple of them left. And then if you also put your name down for an offering, a set of offering envelopes, well, they're on the table out the back. And if you don't have a set and you would like to get them, you can speak to Brother Robinson, one of the elders, and they'll be sure to put your name down for that. Also, I mentioned this morning about our daily Bible reading calendar, and I found I have two of them left, and as soon as I got to the door at the back this morning, those two were both spoken for, so it was first come, first served, so these two are now taken and gone, but we are going to print some more of them because some others may not have got one, and I would encourage you to follow through this. Not only is this a very helpful calendar because of the daily readings that are cited there, but it's also useful to keep with you as just a calendar for its own purpose. So you can pick up one of those, the two people that asked me anyways tonight later on, and the others will get to you hopefully by next Lord's Day. We read this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to look again at verse 38 and read down to verse 53, 54, for the sake of those who were not in our service tonight. We read the opening verses of chapter 17, and it's the simple account, and I should say simple, but it's a detailed account, really, of what happened when the Philistines set the battle in array against Israel, and they sent their champion down into the valley of Elah to challenge Israel. And when David, who was minding his sheep, was sent by his father to bring supplies to his brethren, well, he got there and he was shocked to see this giant who was challenging the armies of Israel, and as a result of that, challenging God himself. And David was surprised that no one would take up this challenge. And so then he said, I will go. Well, he tried on Saul's armor, but that didn't work because he had not tried it. And he took that off, and he simply took the sling that he had, his shepherd's sling, with those five stones. And you know, he went out with five stones, and he came back with five stones, because he brought Goliath's head with him. And the Lord gave him that day a great victory. One of the things that he said in the hearing of Goliath and to him was the word that is our motto text, and it's found in verse 47 as we read through this scripture tonight. You will see what we are talking about. Looking at verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. That's an interesting word there. It means as a stone would sink into the water. It sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. Let's ask the Lord to help us now in our service. Father, we wait now in thy holy presence, with the word of God open. And Lord, I pray that every distracting thought would be taken away from our minds, that we would be settled and still before thee. I pray, Father, a word in season to every heart. Speak to me, I pray. Speak through me. Lord, may I know that anointing which is absolutely necessary to handle the word of truth. Bless the word to every heart, any who are without Christ. Save them, Lord, tonight we pray. Let there be a word to encourage hearts of your people, as we will face many giants in this incoming year, many we know not of at this point. And yet, Lord, whatever it is, let us step forward by faith and with confidence. We will overcome by the power of our great God. Hear our prayers now tonight. Bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The battle is the Lord's. This is a subject that God laid on my heart some months ago as I was asking and seeking for his mind for a motto verse, for something we should set before us, the Lord would set before us for this incoming year. And as God impressed this upon my heart, I did not know the full implication of it, and perhaps yet none of us do. We don't really know what this year will entail for any believer. We don't really know what it will entail for this congregation, for a fellowship in our sister congregations. We are heading into times and seasons where governments and education and empires are turning more and more against the Lord, it seems, and rejecting the Word of God and turning wholesale that which is good they call evil and that which is evil they call good. And so it brought my attention to this great battle that occurred many thousands of years ago, a battle that you have heard, if you've been in church for any length of time, in Sunday school, and have come through youth meetings, you've heard the wondrous story and this amazing account of David and Goliath and the battle that took place there in the valley of Elah. And so as we are thinking about these spiritual battles that we will face for 2019, the words of verse 47 that David expressed in the hearing of Goliath and the armies of the Philistines and of Israel, these words, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. There is for us, I believe, very practical help in these words spoken so many, many years ago. And I believe the practical help is what the Spirit of God will show us from His Word, and the application that sometimes can be spoken by a preacher or by a pastor or a missionary, a Bible teacher, that is one thing. But I think the most important application that can be taken from the Scripture is that which the Spirit of God impresses on your heart individually, wherever you are with God tonight. And friend, whatever will come to your across the course of your life this year, and how the Lord will bring to your memory this word that we are thinking about today, and let it be echoing and resonating throughout the course of this year, I believe that the Lord will use this to assist you. He will use it to help and to encourage you in your heart, to encourage you and bless you in your Christian walk. Our great God is our Savior and our Deliverer and our King. And we rest tonight in the fact that Christ Jesus is our great Conqueror and the Captain of our salvation, and He will give us the victory over all the enemies that come against us, one way or another. And I say that because in the Christian's life, we face many battles. Some of them we might classify as being smaller ones, some larger ones. And the battle that you face may not be exactly the same as the person sitting next to you or in the next pew. But the point is that whatever God allows to come across your pathway, sometimes you may conclude, I have not seen the victory in this battle. I do not fully experience or understand what it means. The battle is the Lord's. But my friend, I suggest to you tonight, as you pray over this word, and as God impresses its truth upon your heart, you will receive this by faith, and it will be a strength to you. It will be a help and a blessing along the way. This morning, we were thinking about this word that David spoke to everyone. Everyone in the hearing that day. And then, of course, to everyone who has read this scripture account that is given to us from that time until this very night in which we are gathered in this building. This word is a word for everyone. Yes, David would have spoke in the ears of Goliath, and he heard it and it echoed in his mind. And then those who were in earshot of the word of the Philistine army, they heard it. But as I impressed upon you today, I believe the full import or impact of this word that David spoke was intended for the armies of Israel, the people of God. Why? Because so often, you and I are the ones who need that word to encourage us, that word to strengthen our faith. And we are called, therefore, from this word to listen and to receive and to respond. It's not good enough for us to be hearers of the word only and not doers. We must pray the word of God into our heart, and we must then pray ourselves into action as people who are interested in following and serving the Lord. We looked at, secondly, this morning, that the Lord delivers by His own power, for the Lord saves not with sword and with spear. David knew it wasn't the armor of Saul that was going to help him. It was just too big and cumbersome. He hadn't proved it. But I suggest to you that David did not go out against Goliath by his own ability or by his own strength. It was the Spirit of God that enabled him. And David, as he recorded and rehearsed to Saul, he said, God delivered the lion and the bear into my hands. I was alone. I was by myself with the sheep. And when the lion and the bear came to take the lambs of the flock and the little ones, in the very mouth and grip and teeth of that beast, David went after him, not thinking about his own safety, but launching out by the power of God's Spirit, and he delivered that little animal out of the mouth of that vicious beast. And when it turned to slay him, David, by God's power, was able to overcome the great beast of the earth. And in those two occasions, when he did that, David learned that the weapons of his warfare, they were not carnal, for he could never have done that by his own strength. He was given power by the Lord himself. And believer, the emphasis for us has to be that we know our conflicts, we are not going to be dealt with by a physical strength or ability, but they're going to be dealt with by the power that God gives. For it's not by our might and not by our power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. If you have been reading in the Bible reading calendar already, you're in the book of Ezra. And as you're in the book of Ezra, coming to chapter 6, it's the beginning there where it talks about the prophecies of Haggai and Zechariah. And the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, they were brought by the Lord to encourage Zerubbabel as he was commissioned to rebuild the temple, even against great opposition. And Haggai and Zechariah had to encourage Zerubbabel to be strong in the Lord. And Zerubbabel, there are many enemies that come against you, and there are and there were in that day. But no matter what, it is not going to be by your power, Zerubbabel. It wasn't by David's power, and it's not by your power nor by mine, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord of hosts. He is our great victor. And Zerubbabel was able, by the Lord's strength, to finish building the temple against great opposition. And you and I will continue to build in the work of God against all opposition, because God is with and for his people. And let us be encouraged by that tonight. Because, my friend, as we continue in our study and our thinking, my third point, or the first one for tonight, is this: it is the Lord's fight that we are in. Let us not forget that. It is the Lord's fight that we are in. The battle is the Lord's. There was a great confidence that David had. He knew that Satan was busy stirring up tension against God's people, and that the conflict they were now in was really against God. David knew that. Yes, the Philistines were maybe thinking themselves, well, we're going to get rid of these intrusive Israelites. We want to push them back and take over their property. And I'm not saying that every individual Philistine, they saw the greater picture, that they were motivated by the devil. I don't think that any of the devil's crowd really gets that picture clear. But when they set themselves to defeat Israel and to overcome the people of God, they were working by the instruction and direction of the wicked one himself. They were working by the power and forces of darkness as they moved their armies against Israel. It's no real surprise to us as Christians, because we know, reading the scripture and from historical accounts, that from the very beginning, the devil has tried to overthrow every plan and every purpose and every providence of the Almighty God. And each time that an enemy tried to destroy or to disrupt the harmony and peaceful advance of God's kingdom, it was either an attack from without or an attack from within. And we know ourselves that it's one thing when the enemy comes at us from the outside. That's a difficult one. But how much more difficult it is when the enemy comes from the inside and tries to disrupt and upset the advance of the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, tonight you and I need to come face to face and grip the fact and the truth that that is where we are tonight. That is what is facing us. The perpetual battle of evil against good. Why, it predated creation. Because Satan, who tried to be like the Most High God, and he was cast out of heaven with all of his fallen angels. And you know something? There was never a thought in the mind of God to make redemption for those fallen angels. They had rebelled against the Lord. They had sinned against God. But there was no plan. There was no purpose for their redemption. They were lost and lost forever. And my friend, when you think about that in the plan that God had for fallen man in our sin, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is a great grace of God is seen just in that picture right there. Because the Lord, who did not redeem the fallen angels, had a plan and a purpose to redeem fallen man, you and me. And it is by His grace and by His divine power and His sovereign purpose that you and I tonight are redeemed and we're on the road to heaven. And God's greater purpose is working in us. Therefore, when we look and see these confrontations of good against evil, let us never forget that the background of these conflicts, we must know that whatever they appear on the surface, it is a warfare of righteousness against evil and of truth against error, of light against darkness. And this age-old war that David knew, he saw the spiritual dimension of this. He knew that when Satan attacked Israel through the Philistines, that they, and he, that is Satan, was really attacking God. Because every time Satan tries to undermine the work of God, it is an affront in the face of the Lord Himself. And he is trying to get back at the Lord, if at all he could. He is trying to regain the territory that he has lost. When David then boldly stated these words, "The battle is the Lord's. The fight is the fight of God. And he is the one who is the great warrior." And my friends, tonight, let us not forget this truth, that Goliath against David was merely a snapshot of the devil against God in that great conflict. But I want us to think about this tonight for a couple of moments as it really impacts you and me here. And we must remember that in this great warfare that's going on behind human eyes, behind our ability to see in the physical realm, it is the warfare of principalities and powers. And sometimes, friends, it becomes very difficult for you and me because at times the attack is so personal. And when you are attacked personally for your faith, and when you feel the effect of the warfare and of the fire of the dragon that's coming down the back of your neck, and you wonder, "Lord, how can I possibly endure this attack? It is such a personal thing that comes against me." Yes, on that lonely battlefield, there was David and there was Goliath. And David was pitted against this great enemy. And in many respects, that was a personal attack against him. Yes, I know there was so much behind all that. But David himself felt the heat of that at that moment. And you have felt the heat of it in the attacks that have come against you in your own personal life. And when those attacks become so heated, you feel yourself very, very alone. And it's a very normal thing for you to feel. Believer, my encouragement to you tonight is this. Whenever you are feeling that pressure and the weight of that warfare is breathing down your neck, remember this truth. The battle is the Lord's. And remember this truth to come to your own heart with power, because it's only then that you will see the victory is not by your own strength. If the battle is the Lord's, therefore the armament and the defending and the defeating of the enemy is going to be from the Lord Himself. You bring that to the Lord in prayer. The next time you feel, I cannot get through this. This is too hard and too heavy and too hot. No, the Lord is your great deliverer. He is the great conqueror, the one who will assist you, and He will come to your side. And think about the three Hebrew children that were in the fiery furnace, and they stood faithful to God. And there was the fourth one that stood with them in the fire, and the fire could not touch them. That was a very personal attack. Why? Because they stood against Nebuchadnezzar. They were not going to bow down to his image. And they said, well, whether God delivers us or not, it doesn't matter. We're still not bowing down, so do the worst you can. Take our life. We know we have a more sure life, for we have an eternal life. And yet God stepped in that very real and personal attack to them, and He delivered them. You know, sometimes what is even more challenging for us is that not only do we sense a personal attack, but we sense that this attack has come to us right when we are doing the will of God. This is hard. Right when we're in the midst of the work of the Lord. Right when we are trying to accomplish good for the kingdom of God. And then something happens, and we are shaken, and we are rattled, and we wonder, Lord, what are you doing? Why are you allowing this? And it doesn't make any sense to us then. How will you then make sense of it at that very point? The only way you will make sense of it is knowing this, the battle is the Lord's, and my faith must depend upon Him to get me through this. Because, Lord, I want to go on with you. As a congregation in this year, we want to go on with God. We want to fulfill the great and providential sovereign purpose of the Lord in our life. We want to live for Him. We want to serve Him. That's all we want to do. We want to be faithful to the Lord. And as He has called us, and that's our heart's desire, understand, friend, that you may not understand fully now all the implications and outworkings of it all. What did the hymn writer say? He said, not now, but in the coming years. It may be in a better land. We'll know the meaning of our tears. Sometime we'll understand. Then, trust in God through all thy days. Fear not, for He doth hold thy hand. And with that in your heart, and that in your mind, we're able to go forward. You know, another truth that comes to us and can be very discouraging in the heat of the battle is that we can be so often, we're heavily outnumbered. Heavily outnumbered by the devil's forces. Does that not discourage you in this day when it seems that Christianity is such a failing, falling, short number? In a land of worldly activity. In a world that seems to be just going forward and accomplishing all it wants to do. And those who are Christians on the side of the Lord, it seems, well, we're so heavily outnumbered. How can we stand against governments that are making laws and decisions that are taking the freedoms of Christians away. And we feel we are powerless against such forces. And we see the advancement of immorality and the great advancement of the sodomite lobby today, and the advancement of homosexuality, and all of the aberrations and wickedness that goes on connected with that. And as Christians, we feel our hands are tied. But are they tied? Oh, friend, faith will untie your hands. Faith will open your mind to see that there is a God in heaven, that He is sovereign in all things. And the battle, it is the Lord's. And therefore, let us not forget that, even when we feel so heavily outnumbered. There is an account in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, and it goes like this. The king of Syria, he had sent horses and chariots and a great host to the city of Dothan. And he did so in order to capture Elisha the prophet. And the background of this is rather interesting, because the king of Syria was making his maneuvers to attack Israel. And every time he made a maneuver to attack Israel, Israel didn't go in that path. They went a different way. And the king of Syria was scratching his head and wondering. He came back to his own counselor. He said, "Look, tell me, who's on the side of Israel? We've got some spy going on here." And one of his men said, "None, sir, but Elisha, the prophet of God. He tells what's going on in your bedchamber. He tells the words that you're speaking in your bedchamber. How is that possible?" Well, because the Lord spoke to Elisha, that's how. And anyways, so this king, he now determines he's going to come and he's going to take Elisha captive. And so he sends all this great host of men, chariots, horses. And in the morning, Elisha's servant wakes up and he sees that the entire city is surrounded by the king of Syria's forces. And he is shocked and fearful. And he goes to Elisha and says, "My lord Elisha, look at all the armies that are out there, the enemy that has come against us." And Elisha's reply was simply this: "Fear not, for there be more with us than there be with them." There be more with us than be with them. There's Elisha and me, that's two. And then he's looking out and he sees the whole army of Syria out there. More with us than with them. Do the math here. Yes, do the math is right. Because Elisha prayed, "Lord, open the eyes of this young man." When his eyes were opened, you know what he saw? He saw on the mountains that were around Dothan, he saw horses and chariots, and they were a flame of fire. And they were surrounded by the angels of God. But the servant never saw it. But Elisha knew. How did Elisha know? Because Elisha knew the battle is the Lord's. That's how. Because Elisha knew his eyesight was that of faith and not of just simple human sight. Oh, friends, that you and I will be able to see that when the devil's crowd comes and all the armies of evil are pitted against the cause of Christ, look behind us and see that the angels of God surround us. The angels of God are sent to do the bidding of the Lord. The fire that comes from the Lord's attendants are the angels that protect and serve His cause, because the battle is the Lord's, my friend. Therefore, be not discouraged today. Let us go forward from faith to faith, especially when there are times when that attack is so real, so personal, so direct, and we are heavily outnumbered, and it appears that defeat is inevitable. Well, our victory comes not with guns and swords and tanks and armaments, for our eyes are upon him whom our soul loves, our great captain, the Alpha and the Omega, the one that we read about in Revelation 20 that will ultimately get the victory. Because, friends, I leave this with you finally tonight, that victory for us is certain. Think back with me about what David said, the final phrase he uttered. He said, "And he will," that is the Lord, "he will give you into our hands." He will give you into our hands. What confidence that David had facing that giant that was covered from virtually head to foot with all kinds of armament and covering and protection. And yet David, he looked beyond all that. He had the faith of Elisha. He could see behind him all the armies of God that was there, and he knew that that single stone that he had was a heathen-seeking missile, and it was going directly where God was intending it. Some have said that the contest between Goliath and David was unfair because they were so unevenly matched. Well, I suppose that's true. Goliath really never had a chance in that situation, and he was defeated before he ever started down in the valley of Elah. And so it is for us tonight, friend. But I want you to think for a moment as we bring the message to a close tonight. What is the real contest that's on display here as we look at Goliath and David? I suggest to you that it is not between a shepherd boy and a pretentious giant, but it is rather with the greater David, our Lord Jesus Christ, as he faced the giant of demonic power, Satan himself. And you know what Christ did? He ran toward the enemy. And he ran toward the enemy, and Christ, with that single stone of truth, overcame the father of lies and the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of the darkness of this world, was defeated by the cross and the resurrection of Christ from the grave, because in the resurrection, death is swallowed up in victory. One day soon, friend, we will see the Lord Jesus descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. We will gather together with our Lord, and all of his people will gather at his feet, and we will be forever with the Lord at that time. And at that time, the Savior, who is our greater David, will finalize judgment against Satan and all his angels, and they will be driven back, and they will be driven back by the brightness of his coming and by the sword of the Spirit that proceeds out of his mouth. And then that great declaration, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Because Satan and all his host and every unbeliever and every Christ rejecter will be cast into the lake of fire which burneth forever and forever. Therefore, believer, tonight, what does that mean for us now? It means now that we are to walk in the light of this great victory that we have in Christ. Let us not be cast down, but to lift up our eyes, for our redemption does draw near to us. And whatever giants you will face this year, face them with this confidence: he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Go not therefore in your own power, But go therefore in the great power of the Spirit of God that abides within us. And as the hymn writer said, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Friend, be encouraged tonight with this word. Let this verse of Scripture be our motto for this year. Let all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Let's bow, please, in prayer. As our heads are bowed now, our service is just about over. If there's anyone here tonight and you are not a believer, I pray that God would speak to your heart and that you would confess your sin to Him just now where you are seated. Friend, call upon Him. The Lord is willing and gracious at the sound of your voice to hear your prayer. He will heal your soul. He will save you from your sin, and He will give you the gift of eternal life. And maybe, believer, you've been walking at a distance from the Lord the last while. It's time to come home, time to come back to Him. He is gracious, and He will hear, and He will answer your prayer. Father, take this word tonight and let it be a challenge and a blessing and encouragement to us all. Take us forward in this year's journey. And whatever comes our way, Lord, increase our faith. Help us to see that there are more with us than there are with the forces of evil. Separate us now in thy fear with thy rich blessing. May this incoming week be a week of great victory, great encouragement. Hear this, our prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.